I'm Sebastian Page, Chief Investment Officer at T. Rowe Price. We are a Fortune 500 company. My day job is in the rough and tumble, hyper-competitive world of money management. I'm responsible for overseeing more than 500 billion, that's with a B, in assets. I have over 20 years of real-world corporate leadership experience. For this book, I've read hundreds of research articles and books, and I hired a PhD sports psychologist as a scientific referee to review my interpretation of the research in psychology. One more thing. My favorite authors are Malcolm Gladwell, Adam Grant, Susan Cain, and Dan Pink. I am not kidding. I quote each of them in my book, Five Insights from the Psychology of Leadership. Number one, measurable goals are dangerous. Number two, billionaires are horrible role models. Number three, it's okay to compare yourself to others. Number four, stress is good. Number five, leaders should be less, not more, decisive. Okay, there's nuance behind each of these insights, but I'm framing them that way to get your attention and make sure you keep listening. I learned this by watching YouTube videos with Simon Sinek. First insight, measurable goals are dangerous. Let me ask you an uncomfortable question. What would it take for someone to convince you to put a gun to your head and play Russian roulette? Okay, suppose the hypothetical gun had 100 chambers and was loaded with 4 bullets. So you'd have a 4% chance of dying. How big would the reward have to be for you to spin the chamber and press the trigger? Would you do it for $1 million? 10 million? 100 million? Click. If you've reached the summit of Everest, I admire and respect you. At the same time, let me ask you, why? I mean, there's an area called the death zone when you climb Everest. You climb over frozen dead bodies to get to the summit. Over the last 30 years, 4 out of every 100 climbers who have summited have died. Hence my Russian roulette analogy. Reaching the summit of Everest may be an irresistible goal because it's a challenging and prestigious achievement. And more than anything else, it's a well-defined, measurable goal. You either reach the summit or you don't. Perfectly measurable. Research in psychology reveals that goal-induced blindness. This is what happens when you're so obsessed with reaching a goal that you don't see the negative consequences of your actions. That's called goal-induced blindness. It leads people to sacrifice their well-being or lie and cheat. Measurable goals are useful, and in fact, they're essential in leadership and in life. That's the nuance. But they're also dangerous. Learn to prevent goal-induced blindness. You can prioritize well-being and ethics, and you need to know when to abandon your summit attempt. Second insight, billionaires are horrible role models. I used to admire billionaires, but as I researched their lives, and I've read a lot of books about billionaires, I was taken aback by how many of them are basically real jerks. Most billionaires are horrible at relationships. The more I read about Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and others, the more I'm starting to think, wow, they're often quite miserable. Did you know that there have been 13 divorces amongst the 10 richest men in the world? It's absolutely okay to pursue massive financial success. Nothing wrong with that. But there has to be more to it. It's not necessary to be a jerk or sacrifice family life in the name of accomplishment. And remember that renowned author Daniel Pink showed that focusing on external rewards, like making lots of money, may actually impede instead of promote self-motivation. Choose your role models carefully. You may be more influenced by whom you admire than you think. Research in psychology reveals that if you identify with a celebrity, you will likely change your attitudes and behaviors to be more like them. Makes sense, right? But this doesn't not only apply to teenagers who want to dress like Taylor Swift. It applies to everybody, including you and me. Third insight. It's okay to compare yourself to others. Social comparison can damage your self-esteem. In his book, David and Goliath, Malcolm Gladwell explains that high-achieving but not genius-level students who attend Ivy League universities tend to give up on their ambitions more than the average student. They begin to question their abilities by comparing themselves to other Mozart-level students. But there's nothing wrong with wanting to win. Competition is a fantastic motivator. I'm a runner. My fastest runs have always been during races. Dr. Dan Zimmet, a sports psychologist, told me that he has never met an elite athlete who, as a child, never had the thought, I want to be the best. Humans are wired for social comparison. There's an entire field of study in psychology devoted to it. Research suggests that as much as 10% of your thoughts involve comparisons to others. You compare how successful you are, how you look, how much money you make, how smart you are. Okay, how often do you think about these things? Be honest. The trick is to be self-aware and put the motivational power of social comparison to good use, and in a way that you don't develop, you guessed it, goal-induced blindness. Fourth insight, stress is good. The so-called Yerkes-Dodson Law is a model in sports and popular psychology to map performance to your degree of arousal or activation or stress. This law assumes that performance increases with stress, but up to an optimal point, after which anxiety hurts your performance. You start to choke. To be clear, when they describe this law, most psychologists refer to quote-unquote arousal instead of stress. They use the term arousal as a broader concept, which includes alertness and vigilance. But the bottom line is that you should not assume all stress is bad. For optimal performance, research in psychology shows that you shouldn't eliminate stress. That's impossible anyways. Instead, find your optimal stress level. As you calibrate your goals, don't make them too easy or too hard. Remember that the more complex the work, the more you need to concentrate, and the lower the optimal stress level. But if you're gonna run a sprint or do powerlifting, it's okay to be fully activated, pretty stressed. You're gonna perform better. Get this adrenaline going. The bottom line is that, like an elite athlete, you can't operate at your level, at a high level, without a bit of stress. Isn't that liberating? Now you can stop stressing about stressing. Tim Ferriss said, embracing stress is like a superpower. Fifth insight, leaders should be less, not more, decisive. So I once worked with a remarkably patient and wise business leader. If someone came to him with an urgent problem, first thing he would do is evaluate whether it was critical and time-sensitive. When needed, he was comfortable taking decisive action, but otherwise, he would take the advantage of the option to wait and see how things unfolded. Most of the time, the issues were resolved without his involvement. In his book, Original, psychologist and famous author Adam Grant praises procrastination. He explains that leaders who drive change effectively are those who wait patiently for the right moment. The most common error in judgment with multi-stage decisions is that most of us don't take advantage of the time we have left to decide. Our standards go down too quickly. We want to get it done. This is absolutely the case for most hard-charging business leaders, for example. There's something called control theory that teaches us to use time to our advantage to keep our options open. I call this, in my book, strategic patience. Don't rush decisions when you don't have to. When you need to choose amongst competing options, for example, when hiring someone, your standards, all else equal, should be a function of how much time you have left to decide. Remember that most of us have a bias to action. We underestimate how high our standards should be when there's more time. Learn strategic patience. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the book.